So we continue in this journey of Advent. This second week of Advent, we see the second candle on the wreath has been lit. We see a few more decorations in the church. Have a visual representation of this gradual building up of our preparation for the coming of Jesus. And last week in the scriptures, we began with a focus on the end times. That moment in time when Christ comes as our judge. And I said in my homily last week that it's a foundational principle that we should always begin with the end in mind. The reason, the purpose things exist, the nature of things, why does something exist? It's good to have that in mind so we know the proper way to use them. The human body, the human person, is the same way. So last week we were reminded that we are made to be in communion with the Father forever. And a day will come in time when we have that judgment. And Advent always begins with that, with the beginning, with the end in mind. And so the second Sunday of Advent, St. John the Baptist is always that primary figure. And he brings us back to the beginning of this. So now we know where we're going. John the Baptist helps us to figure out how to get there. As he reminded the people of the prophecy of Isaiah from 700 years before the time of Christ. It's a common theme all throughout salvation history, all throughout the Old Testament. The people sin, God promises a redeemer, the people are exiled, God promises restoration. There's always this give and take, this restoration and falling, restoration and falling. And every time the chosen people gave in to idolatry, gave in to infidelity, gave in to the pagan gods and the sinful lifestyle, there was always a prophet that was raised up that said, the day is coming when you will be restored. Twice, there were two massive exiles where the chosen people lost the promised land and were sent away into slavery. Isaiah was writing in about 700 during one of those exiles. And then Baruch, the prophet we had in the first reading, was writing about 500 or 600 years before Christ, during that second exile period. And Baruch is a prophet that, unless you come to Mass on the Easter Vigil, you will never hear this prophet again in the Mass. So it's an important one for us to look at. But his prophecy is the same as all the rest. You messed up, but if you return, God's going to restore you. There's always this sense of joy with the restoration that comes. And this is the theme of Advent. The Mother Church is kind of forcing us to do a little introspection. Where is my heart? Where have my choices led me? Have I gotten off course? Am I really living with the end in mind? Or am I living like the world? This last week, this first week of Advent, has my life been any different than everyone else out in the world? Have I gone to the same parties and shopped at the same stores and made the same lists and made all the same preparation for Christmas, the secular idea of Christmas? Or am I allowing Mother Church to be my teacher, to teach me how to live properly? Maybe we can say to live liturgically, that this season of Advent is an important and necessary time in our lives to kind of reset. Because Christ will come again. He came the first time and so many people missed him. And when we read the words of Jesus, we can assume that many people will miss him when he comes. Many people will not be prepared when he comes the second time. And so we live in this flux, this in-between time, the already and the not yet. And so Mother Church, through her liturgy and through her sacraments, helps us to live well this in-between time. And so today we focus on that preparing the way for Christ to come. When Isaiah was prophesying this, we can imagine that there really were some mountains and some roads and some valleys that needed to be fixed. When John the Baptist is preaching, the Roman Empire, well, they were pretty good at making roads. So the physical road isn't what he was probably referring to. He was using that as an analogy to their spiritual life. The roads of our heart. The mountains, the valleys of our pride. Of our addictions. Of our false identities that we take on from the world. Of our believing ourselves to be forgotten and abandoned. Believing that because my marriage broke down and my family's in a shambles, that means God has abandoned me. Believing because I have a rough time at school and my grades are falling, that God has abandoned me. All these lies that we believe, all these fears through which we make decisions, Christ is coming to set us free. And it's this season of freedom, this spirit of freedom that Christ has come to bring us. And so the Mother Church wants us to enter into the season of Advent so that we can say yes to the life of freedom. So we have to do the hard work. Like, we don't have very many mountains or any mountains here and not too many valleys. But in Jacksonville, we are well acquainted with making roads. The ongoing, never-ending road construction. So this is a good image for us. We know the hard work that it takes to build a road, how long it takes. And so we have to enter into that long road of redemption. Yes, it happens in a moment. You go to confession, you're set free. You've been baptized, you're anointed, you're set out into the world. These moments of grace are momentary, but our life is a life of choices. And we know how easily we make wrong choices. And so each year Advent comes to set us on that right path once again. And so maybe we are in that position where we need to knock down some mountains, like the physical part of recovery and redemption. Maybe we or someone we know are far away from the church and from the truth. Then maybe some of us have come close, but we've turned lukewarm, mediocre, just go through the motions. I know what this is all about. I don't have to really pay my full attention. I think if we look at the beginning of today's gospel passage, it could kind of shake us from that second part. Because Luke is saying, he's given this list of all the important people in the town, all the important people, the Caesar, the Pilate, the Tetrarch, the high priesthood, all of these people, he's saying, these are who are in the know. Their names are in lights. But who did the word of God come to? This crazy man out in the desert. These people who probably were thinking that they were it. They were leaders. They had made it to the top of their career. But God didn't choose them. He chose the lowly. So when we are feeling low, when we are feeling abandoned, when we're feeling isolated, we can have confidence that the very same word that came to John the Baptist comes to us. And that word of freedom. And if we live this season well, if we allow our hearts to be transformed, if we say goodbye to the life of sin and say yes to the life of grace, if we have our hearts and our minds opened to the coming of Christ, not just 2,000 years ago, and not just the end of the world, whenever that may be, but the coming of Christ in our life every day, sacramentally, really, truly, substantially in the Holy Eucharist, the very same Jesus that was walking the earth will be here today. And he will be coming to you. He's coming to you to set you free. Do you want to live in this freedom? Do you believe in the promise? Or do you allow the world to dictate your thoughts of who you are and what's possible for your life? That responsorial psalm, "The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy." This should be the song of every Christian's heart. Because we've been baptized, We've been made a temple of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we sin, or if ever, whenever we sin, we come to the confession and we're set free, restored, remade, renewed. The same prophecy of that you will regain your land, you will regain the promises are given to us every time we go to confession. This is the great work. The work that was begun in us in our baptism that St. Paul talked about will be brought to completion if we say yes. And there's no reason for us not to, if you want to. It's a very, very beautiful, very important time in our lives right now. Easily to miss. We can keep living the secular world, getting ready for Santa Claus, getting ready for the office party, getting ready to see how many friends we can outdo because our house is better decorated and we got bigger presents and bigger trees. We can fall into all those traps. Or we can say, yes, Lord, I want to be set free. Yes, Lord, I want to live in the truth of who I am, the truth of who you tell me I am. Let us take advantage of this beautiful, special time that Mother Church has set apart for each one of us. To not just go through the motions, to not get stuck in a faulty idea of who I am, but let us live in the joy of the gospel. Let us live in the joy of being set free. Like Baruch says, Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery and put on the splendor of glory from God forever. This is who we're called to be. This is who you're sent out in the world to be. The glory of God forever. Jesus is coming. Will we be ready?